think the only thing I could have done to make this broadcast better was if I had saddled up Cracker and sat horseback here on top of this ridge for this broadcast. Ooh, I brought my binoculars too, John and I. We've got a little money pool going this morning. $10 for the first person that spots a deer, $5 for a javelina, $1 a coyote, and 50 cents for each different bird species. And I got a blue jay over here on top of this. I think that's a blue jay over here on top of a little juniper. But when you think of Old West, you know, you think of legendary heroes and legendary bandits. But, you know, not all bandits were created equal. And for every good bandit and great outlaw story, who comes to mind? Jesse James? Billy the Kid? Butch and Sundance? But never Elmer J. McCurdy. This article comes out of the True West magazine. He wasn't so tacked in his robbing spree, which happened in the year 1911. He first pulled over a Mountain Pacific train, which was supposed to be carrying $4,000. Well, they'll never know how much was in it because they used so much nitroglycerin to blow up the safe, it burned all the money, and the $450 in silver coins they got, they couldn't use because it had all been melted from the nitroglycerin blast. 6 months later, they find themselves in Kansas, where they try and rob the Citizens Bank. Again, so much nitroglycerin was used on the vault door, it blew it physically through the wall of the bank. And on the interior, when they tried to break into the safe, he could never get the fuse lit for their second blast to get into the money storage safe. So eventually, out of time to stand around playing, they just grabbed the loose $150 in coins and made a run for it. And then in October, he planned to rob the Katy train, which was supposed to have $400,000. And they figured, well, you know, even if we burn up some of that money, if we get a small lump sum of that, it should be pretty good. The only problem was when they boarded the train after they'd stopped it, it was the wrong train. And frustrated, they ended up just stealing what they could from the passengers on the train, which totaled a whopping $46, a pistol, two jugs of whiskey, a coat, and the conductor's watch. 3 days later, still drunk on his two jugs of whiskey, Elmer J. McCurdy was surrounded and shot to death by the law. His body was taken to a funeral home in Oklahoma where it was unclaimed. So they embalmed the body to preserve it until someone could claim it. And eventually the funeral home just stuck a sign out that said, for a nickel, come see the bandit who wouldn't give up. And this goes on for 5 years. And the popularity of this attraction brought the attention of carnivals. So this traveling carnival tried to buy the body but wouldn't, and eventually McCurdy's long-lost brother arrived to claim the body. Had enough document and paperwork to satisfy law enforcement, they released the body, only to find out later that his brother that showed up was really James Patterson, the partial owner of the Great Patterson Carnival Traveling Show. So his body ends up going on this carnival show for until the year 1922. So this is now 11 years after he's been shot to death, and his body eventually ends up in a warehouse in Los Angeles until 1968, when it was sold to the Hollywood Wax Museum, and was there until the year 1968 when they started filming. I'm sorry, 1967, when they started filming $6 Man episode. I'm not sure the $6 Million Man, but it must be a TV program or something. And while on set and they were moving things and figures around in this wax museum, McCurdy's arm breaks off, revealing human bone inside. They call the cops after a slew of forensics and digging around. They were finally able to identify that this was McCurdy, and in 1977, 66 years after he shot to death, he's finally buried in Oklahoma on Boot Hill next to Bill Dolan, which they say is a pretty good company considered McCurdy never successfully robbed a single bank. How would you like that on your tombstone. The bonehead that blew up three banks, three robberies, and never successfully pulled one off. Welcome, Arizona homeowners. It's Rosie on the house. Saturday mornings, you can call in at 1-888-767-4348. I am broadcasting remotely on a ridge south of Granite Basin Mountain. Carol, my sister, the youngest of my four sisters, is call screening. We don't have the real ability to take calls, but you can leave your comments with her. She can relay them on during commercial breaks or on text, and we can address them during the program. 8 o'clock hour, we'll have John Eisenhower, assuming he makes it back from his trip. He walked down to the Champion Tree, and we'll be talking all things tree-related. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Rosie will take over the broadcast on remote in Tucson at the Assurance Builders grand opening on Camino del Seco. Assurance Builders is the original Rosie on the House certified general contracting for the Tucson area. And then he'll take it through 11 o'clock. We do this every Saturday morning. This is a first for us in bouncing around to two different remotes. But I will tell you what, I am watching a beautiful sunrise over the ridge of Granite Mountain. And at the very ridge, you can see the remains of the Dose fire where it completely torched. You just see little sticks. It's not trees. It's just the tree trunks that are left along the ridge. And if we get this good of connection, you know, I'm going to have to find a different mountaintop in Arizona to broadcast from. Looking around, you can see the hills of Kingman over here to the south, and a little bit to the west of me is beautiful Skull Valley laid out below. And over back to the east, you've got the peaks, and Prescott is just over the hilltop from where I'm standing.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.